Good afternoon. We start this conference tomorrow, and so I'm sort of not using you as guinea pigs, but just sharing some things that my heart's concerned with, so it's hard for me to teach something else if I'm being distracted by truth. And so yesterday we were in Romans 6. We'll be doing that in the conference with more detail. We talked about the fact that it came from just an encounter I had with the Lord the other night when something was rising up in me that wasn't good. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, Chuck, you know, we died to that sin. And of course, I know that's true, but the way he said it to me sort of set me free from any kind of formula thing to where you're standing off declaring that you're dead to sin so that you can abide in Christ. Now, our declaring that we're dead to sin doesn't make us dead to sin, but there can be that kind of mindset that says, by saying that I'm dead to sin, I get to abide in Christ. But the truth is that I died to sin when he died to sin. My death to sin was his death to sin. His death to sin was my death to sin. And so it's very valid, it's very theological, and it made so much more sense to me for Jesus to say, Chuck, we died to that sin. And I was like, it wasn't like me trying to say that. It's like we, who are one, who had that common experience because he became me on the cross. I was in him on the cross. And again, therefore, when he died to the sin, that particular version of my sin, I died to that particular version of my sin. He died as if he were just you. He died for collective humanity. And collective humanity died in him. But that meant the collective individual humanity. So Christ at the cross didn't just die for you. We thank God that he did. We died in him as our substitute for our sins. But he died to sin, Romans 6:10 says. And so whatever version of your flesh, whatever it has forms of, like if you have a temper, whatever your particular version of temper looks like, Jesus became that on the cross. And that you, that version of you, that version of you with temper died in the person of Jesus. Y'all died to that sin. He was a southerner. So it's so easy when you hear that. And you're like, well, yeah, Lord, yes, we did. And you just sink into that. And then watch it be revealed. For our life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ is our life is revealed, you and I get to be revealed to him the glory that he accomplished, the glory that he walks in. So you see, here's one of the cool things about all that is that why would you scratch for your own story? Why would you get anxious about things might happen or might not happen? Because whenever you do that, because you'd never be anxious about his story, would you? I mean, we're pretty confident that the story that Jesus lives is a good one, right? I came, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say, I'm throwing abundant life at you. I'm tossing you abundant life. He said, I came that you might have abundant life. Because you see, he grafted us into himself, and only in him can we have abundant life. It's the life that he lives. So we don't get anxious about something about might happen or might not happen, because that's living as if you were an independent self with an independent story, and who in the world wants that? That's what you were before you got saved. That's the self you deny. So I saw that last night so clearly. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and deny yourself. Well, the old self was crucified on the cross, but the law of sin tries to deceive me and rises up these things in me as if I were the old self, but that's the self I deny. No, I deny that self that wants to be this way or wants to be that way or wants people to perceive them this way or have this or have that so that you'll feel good about yourself. Who's consumed with your own personal well-being. So I've got this appearances and stuff. So I've got like as Jude, you know, not Jude, but Malachi and Joe would go like, Babu, what's the boo-boo? You know? So I have this boo-boo that has some, I have to have surgery in November. And I was at this reception the other night with a bunch of people I didn't know. And I was sitting there and I didn't have Band-Aid because it needs surgery. And I felt really self-conscious about just how I looked. And the Lord spoke to me. He spoke to me. He said, you know, I've been before people in very transparent ways with a lot of physical flaws. Like when he was crucified, naked, stripped, his body, his skin. And he said, you know, Chuck, I wasn't self-conscious at all because it wasn't about me. It was about them. Wow. It's not my story. It's not my getting their approval. It's not about me getting acclamation or affirmation or whatever. And it's his story. And so that's that self that rises up, that wants to be self-conscious, and all the nonsense that goes with it, that's the self I deny. That's a yucky. That's no fun. I'm in Christ. It's his story. He's living out his story through me. If it makes sense to you, let me just say this to you. That's glorious freedom. Because how many times and have people let their day or their evening be wrecked when they discovered there was some flaw going on and it was so embarrassing? That's one of the things Jesus told me that night. He said, you know, I didn't get embarrassed at the cross. I wasn't self-conscious at all because it was about them. Man, that's a breakthrough into glorious freedom. And then you realize that, oh, wow, my advantage is in life, so that life will be good and be wonderful and, quote, I'll be happy, is not dependent on anybody's opinion of me. It's just lost in his story. You with me? His story. The adventure of all that is just extraordinary. Well, I totally got off what I was going to do, which is not unusual. But let me just show this to you. This is verse. Listen to the priority of the Lord. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Freedom from what? Independent self. The self that doing things, I think I wrote something in this Bible, freedom from the wearisome life of self-effort, freedom from the fear of rejection, of living life as an independent self, freedom from morbid self-consciousness all the time, How do you sound? Who's accepting you? Who's not? Where do you fit? Will you say it right? Will you do it right? What do they think about you? That's horrible. It's extraordinary bondage. Because then you begin to adjust everything to fit in. And when you do that, then you're no longer walking in the will of God. You're again in conversation with the enemy and trying to form a story that will work, have a happy ending. There's only one that does. It's his story. But think about what it says here. Christ died on the cross for the glory of God. Oh, sure, he surely did. But why did Christ die on the cross? If when Adam and Eve fell, God had just said, that's it, you're done, wiped out. That would have given him glory. He's holy. He would have certainly defended his holiness, made it really clear that sin's a big deal to him. Because that's what we think as Westerners. It's all about sin. It's a big deal to him. But you know what was a bigger deal to him than our sin? Us. He was not prepared to live without us. He was not prepared to give us a chance to be restored to intimate union with him. It was about you. I saw that night when he said that to me, Chuck. I know what it's like to have things wrong with you physically, glaringly in front of people. But I didn't die on the cross about me. I was on the cross for them. And I was taking captivity captive. The captivity of the opinion of others. The captivity of having to fit in. The captivity of having to look just right, sound just right, say the right thing. And the kind of introspection, anxiety, and insecurity all that creates. It was for freedom's sake that Christ set me free. Why did Christ come to set you free? Because your being free was the most important thing in the world to him. Freedom from sin's reign. No longer slaves to sin. Last half of Romans 6 says, as a matter of fact, you've been enslaved to the righteousness of Christ. His right nature and his right behavior, perspective, outlook, and everything. You've been enslaved to that. Oh, what glorious slavery that is. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 7, you may actually be a slave, but if you're in Christ, you're Jesus' freed man. So powerful, huh? So maybe this morning, there's some things you've been struggling with, and you need to stop and let Jesus speak in you. Because we live by the words that proceed out of the mouth of God. If we abide in him, it says, and we abide in his love, he says, and his words abide in us. It's all the same thing. His words abiding in you, maybe he wants to say to you, hey, we died to that sin. We're alive to God. For the death that he died to sin, once and for all. But the life he lives to God. That's freedom. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but living to God because you're in Christ. Wow, that's his story. That's freedom. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.